Welcome to Wear It Down, the Queer Killing Eve podcast.
I'm Natalia.
And I'm Maddie, and we are two queer women who are obsessed with killing Eve.
Each episode, we go scene by scene and discuss villain Eve, the best kills, and the queerest moments.
Fair warning, we spend most of the episode gay panicking and making terrible jokes.
Proceed with caution.
Hello, and welcome to today's show.
Welcome.
Welcome. Today we are talking about the premiere of season two. This is season two, episode one, entitled, Do You Know How to Dispose of a Body? It was written by the new lead writer for this season, which is Emerald Fennell. It was directed by Damon Thomas, and it originally aired April 7th, 2018. Oh boy, this is a really good season opener.
I agree. It's very strong.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed that it picks up right away, you know?
Definitely, definitely.
All right, what are your three words to describe this episode?
My three words are protect Villanelle always.
Always?
She is a baby.
She is a baby. We also see her at her lowest, I think, at the beginning of this episode, which is fascinating and really fun to explore. I really do enjoy Feral Villanelle. If y'all have listened to season one, which I assume y'all have if you're at this point, but let me tell y'all, I love me some Feral Villanelle.
Oh, it's so good. So good.
I think I just like dirty Villanelle, like mud on her face.
Yeah. There's something about dirt and blood and spit that just really gets me going.
On a really attractive woman, too. I'm just like, oi. Like, it's just
like, yes, ma'am, steal from that homeless man.
All right, would you like to hear the wiki synopsis?
Hit me, girl.
All right, so wiki says, Eve is reeling from her act of violence against Villanelle and doesn't know whether she is alive or dead. A paranoid and severely injured Villanelle manages to get herself to the hospital for treatment. Carolyn approaches Eve with an intriguing opportunity. I think it's a good synopsis. All right, we're going to go ahead and just dive right into this episode.
So let me start by saying, thank God it's 30 seconds later. You know, because after season one, I was like, I need to know what happens right after. Like, is she gonna find her? Is Villanelle okay? You know? So I was very happy that I'm like, okay, let's get right into it. Like, right after. What's going on?
I also really appreciate that it picks up right from Eve's perspective. Because she's the one, I feel like, that's left, to some extent, in the apartment, just confused. And I think it also leads a lot of intrigue, right? Because I think the big question after the season finale of season one was, is Villanelle alive? And so we're kind of still left with that, hanging on to that and curiously, like, wondering, okay, is she alive?
And we see that is essentially where Eve's head is at as well.
Yeah, we're in the exact same headspace, and that's so exciting to be in line with her.
So we see Eve in the apartment. She's coming down the stairs with blood on her hands. She still has the knife out, like, completely, like, out of it, right? And she's coming down, and then she sees what looks like paramedics, right, coming up the stairs.
Yeah, and I think they're really scary because it's three of them and they're kind of just charging in, and one immediately takes out a gun. And Eve is like, hoy boy, and she like runs right back up the stairs. And she ends up hiding in like a closet or something. And then as soon as they pass, she like peeks out and she's like starts going down, and she actually sees the old woman get shot, and we're like, no, because she was cute. She was and she was sassy. I enjoyed her.
Yeah, that part was pretty sad. And we do hear them speaking in Russian at this point as well. So you're like, this is no, like, French paramedic team out here speaking Russian, killing old ladies.
Yeah, that was real shady. And then Eve, you know, is really just scurrying down the stairs, trying to get out of there as quickly as possible. And mind you, this opener is completely silent. There's no music like we're used to. It's very cold, right? And as Eve is going down the stairs, the camera is like right over her shoulder, and you kind of feel like the panic. And I just want to like yell at Eve, go faster, because, you know, there's scary people behind her. And like, also go find your girlfriend that you've just stabbed and like take care of her like you want it to. Oh my God, I'm struggling.
Definitely. And then she gets a call from Carolyn, because she says, like, Carolyn, but she doesn't answer. And then she keeps walking, and then the camera kind of stays and turns a bit, and you see that on the wall, there is a bloody handprint. And the camera just zooms into, like, this like, wooden door, right? And we know.
And we know. We know our girl is somewhere.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I love the way that they plant that really nicely. And then it just kind of slams us with a title card, right? And I think this is a really good hook for this beginning, like, season episode. Like, I really enjoy it so much. And the title card this time, it's black with yellow letters and the V is dripping. And once again, I think anytime the V is dripping, I think this is an episode where it's really shared between the two of them. And I think a lot of the times, maybe they don't necessarily share the screen, but they share experiences. I think there's a lot of parallels this episode, and I'm really excited to explore those as we go on.
Mm-hmm. They essentially had, like, this really intense moment together, and now it's the aftermath of it, and how are they both dealing with it?
Yeah, and also, like, the shared trauma of that event, and how do they handle it? How do they cope, and what do they do? And do they cope, you know?
So I like that shared trauma.
Yeah. No way to bring two women together, like shared trauma.
So anyway, then we see behind the wooden door is Villanelle. She's bloody, she's dirty, she's sweaty.
We're aroused. Oh my god, y'all. She's angry too, which I think that fire and like that tension, ooh, I love it. And we just see the paramedics like bagging all of her stuff and like the what is it called? The stretcher with the old lady, we assume, dead, and they're putting her in there. Yeah. And they're talking on the phone too.
Yeah. And we see like kind of they have like boxes of stuff, and in one of those boxes we see her pink dress from season one. You know, so we know they're clearing everything out. Like, she probably didn't even exist.
Yeah, she even does this little thing where she like kind of looks really annoyed, and she was like, oh, they're fucking taking my stuff. And we're upset too, because we're like, those are iconic Villanelle wares, like, how dare you.
I also love how at this point the camera is like right up in her face, and I get to see every like speck of dirt. That's just me being aroused, but I just like it.
I think what's also interesting is ultimately she's in that little like wooden, like, she wasn't as far from the scene as we thought, so she probably saw Eve as she walked by, and I'm like, damn, that restraint. And the fact that like Villanelle, even though she is weak, like, she could have hurt Eve if she really wanted to, but she chose not to. And I think that's also really notable, because that's restraint, right?
That's true. Like, if she was really angry about being stabbed and she saw Eve walk by, she really could have just popped out and, like, killed her.
I think this is our first hint at where Villanelle's mindset is at this time. I think she was angry initially when she was stabbed, but I think she's starting to kind of, like, digest the fact that she's like, oh, an act of love? Like,
I think another thing, too, and something that I don't see a lot of people talk about, is that technically, in a weird, twisted way, Eve saved Villanelle's life. Because those paramedics, you know, quote-unquote paramedics, were on their way to kill Villanelle. Right? And that's kind of the impression that we get. Because they even say on the phone, like, there was blood, she's not going to get very far, like, we're going to take care of it or whatever. But because Eve stabbed her, it forced Villanelle to run away to get out of the apartment right before the paramedics got there to kill her.
Yeah, it did. And I think what's really interesting, too, is a lot of people really don't talk about it, like you said. But I think that's really notable, because hypothetically, if they had, you know, actually had sex or kissed or whatever, I feel like ultimate, which, you know, we did really want, and I still want, like, that I wish that would have happened. I still love the stabbing, like, I think it's great, but as, like, my queer heart, like, begs for that, like,
fucking,
yeah, all that, you know? But I think it's really interesting, because Eve ultimately does save her life. And I think because if they had, like, made out or had sex or whatever in Villanelle's apartment, her guard would have 100% been down.
Yeah.
And I think she would have ultimately been killed because she wouldn't have been expecting anything.
Definitely. 100%.
Or Eve would have been definitely killed, and Villanelle probably would have gotten, like, hurt and then had to run away, you know? So I think it saved both of them in a weird way.
But imagine, oh my god, now I'm just, like, out here, like, someone needs to write some kind of fan fiction about this. Like, you know, they do make out, and then they get there, and then Villanelle, like, protects Eve, and is like, oh my goodness.
Oh my god. Someone write this. We will pay you $2. We don't have much money, but we'll do it. Oh my god.
$1 each.
That's all we can afford. Oh, that's a really good idea. And then Villanelle officially begins her escape, right? And she's, like, trotting down the little stairs, like, clutching her side. She's so bloody. And this is, like, I'm just like, oh my god, she has to get to safety, right?
And at the same time, we have Eve, right, walking through Paris, it looks like, kind of like at a park. And her phone rings again, and it's Carolyn. And this time she does answer, and Carolyn says, I know where you are, get back here now.
Yeah, and it's really funny because Eve then says, like, I think I killed her, but after Carolyn has hung up. And then the camera pans, and, like, Eve has ultimately said this in front of almost this couple that is proposing. And notably, I think it's interesting that she says it in front of a couple that is proposing, or like there's a whole proposal happening, and it's like it's the height of unity, right? And mm-hmm. she's done the ultimate thing, which is like separating herself from Villanelle by possibly killing her, you mm-hmm. know? I think that stark contrast is like once again that dark humor that is yeah. distinctly killing Eve.
Yeah.
I think it's perfectly done.
I agree.
And once again slaps us in the face with like what could have been in the actuality of the situation, right?
This episode is really funny, I will say.
Yeah.
But yeah, that part I love. And you're right, it's like unity versus separation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the opposite of a proposal? It's a stabbing.
Yeah. Like, let's just, like, slap Eve in the face a couple more times while we're at
it. I also love the way that she delivers the line, like, congratulations.
And then this girl, like, walks away. Like, she is spiraling. She is, like, struggling so hard.
And then we see Eve on her way to the train station, right? And she's walking. And this is an interesting shot, I think, because it's taken from above. So Eve looks really small. And I saw a tweet about this. I don't remember who it was or I would say they're at. But this shot in cinematography is usually used to convey, like, powerlessness of the character on the screen.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
And she is very powerless.
Mm-hmm.
I think she is currently, like, being controlled by her situation and the emotions that, like, are coming with that. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I really like that. That's a good note. And then, of course, you know, there's a lot of back and forth of, like, Eve at the train station and, like, going through that process, which is a very mundane thing to do. And then Villanelle, like, on the street, like, bloody and, like, just trying her best to survive, mm-hmm. right? But Villanelle's in the street, and she's just walking around. But then Eve is getting candy.
Yeah.
Looking so out of it.
I love this scene. It's just Eve just shoveling the candy into the bag, and then the lady that works her just kind of, like, looking at her weird, and it's, like, a little kid, and it's just all of it is insane. And she's just so concentrated, right, on this one thing. Because I think it's the only thing that she can think about right now, because if she thinks about other things, she's going to break down.
Yeah, and I do think that these small, like, hyperfixations that she has throughout the episode are her way of trying to control it, but I think these are also moments, like, tiny meltdowns, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the manifestation of her trauma and her breakdown, and it's hilarious. I don't know if that's good to say, but it's fascinating, and I really don't think she can control her arm, like, she's just shoveling mm-mm. real hard. I feel like this is feral Eve to some extent, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And when then a little piece of candy, like, drops to the side and Eve, like, snatches it, she's so greedy and she's like, no. Mm-hmm. She was like, I need this. I also think it's really interesting that Eve has decided to go for candy because, you know, I feel like she's slipping into a childish state of mind.
Yeah.
And she's reverting to some extent and she's like, I need ultimate comfort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. I think it's very spot on.
And there's a lot of childish themes, right, throughout this episode, which are really, really fun. And it's not just Eve. It's also, like, Villanelle being a child.
She's always a child, though, but yes.
But arguably, Villanelle's always in, like, a traumatic state, right?
It's true.
Just shoving it down.
It's true. And she always has, like, this dark energy to her. And then we have Eve, who, you know, just said something very dark. We just saw, like, peak dark Eve in the season one finale. And now she's acting like a child. It's very similar to Villanelle. And how she goes about her life.
Fascinating. Ooh, I'm enjoying this. Like, the parallels between them? Yeah. I love it.
And then we see Villanelle, and she's struggling. She is struggling. Just stumbling through the streets, and then she finds a homeless man. She steals his alcohol, probably vodka or something.
Yeah, and what does she do? She, like, chugs it, right? Mm-hmm. Or takes a swig, and then she lifts her shirt up. I was not ready. And then she, like, pours it on her, like, her stab wound, I guess, to kind of, like, sterilize mm-hmm. it to some extent. And she's, like, screaming in pain. I will say, when she, like, grunts, I left my body. Like, it was so good.
Oh, my goodness.
I was not ready. And then she's, like, spitting, and I'm, like, oh. It was too much.
And she has, like kind of, like, the drool, like, from the spit, like, still hanging on to her face. And, like, she's really dirty and bloody and, like, grunting.
Ugh. Why was it... Do y'all feel this way, too? Because, like, not ready. It still hits so good, like, after so many times watching this episode. And then what does she do? She, like, grabs the homeless man's, like, jacket that is, like, cut his blanket, essentially.
This poor man.
And then she darts away. And I'm like, oh no, so much is happening.
And then meanwhile, we have Eve sitting with her gummies, right? Her candies, and she's just popping them one after the other. And notably, next to her is another couple.
Yes.
Who look very, very happy together. Like, they're kind of all over each other and just, like, having a great lovey-dovey time.
I think this is meant to highlight the fact that Eve is alone.
Mm-hmm.
That isolation. And I think she is also so isolated to the point where she is like buried in her brain right now. And she's focusing only on the sensation of eating.
Yeah.
I think she's hyperfixating to not feel right now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And I think it's interesting because this isolation is brought upon by herself. Like, not only because she stabbed Villanelle, you know, and like pushed her away, but also she has pushed Nico away.
Absolutely.
And then we have her at the security line, right? Taking off her shoes, putting her little bag of gummies in the tray. But then she realizes this girl still has the knife.
Oh my god. She really just got in line, right? And it was like she prioritized getting candy over disposing of a murder weapon. Like, where is she right now? I'm going to tell you right now. She's having a breakdown. But I think that is so funny. And, like, she literally just leaves everything and, like, leaves the line. And they're like, ma'am, where are you going? And she's just, like, she undoes, like, the line thingy separator. And she just darts away.
And she goes into the restroom and she steps on some urine.
She's not even wearing shoes. So it's even worse. Like, her bare socked foot, you know.
Ugh. I hate it.
And then she, you know, goes through the process of getting rid of the knife. So she, like, opens it and she actually wipes the blood off of the knife. And, like, and then she wraps it up in toilet paper. And it reminds me a lot of, like, disposing of a tampon.
Yeah.
Which is really strange because that's essentially where she puts it, too, in, like, the bathroom stall trash can. And then she kind of just stares for a moment, kind of like, what am I doing? Like, mm-hmm. I'm literally just throwing away a murder weapon.
Yeah.
And, like
it's a used tampon.
Yeah. And that's so strange. And then she's like, all right, guess I'm back in line.
I think it's really interesting at this point you can see, and throughout this episode, but when the camera's focused on her hands, you can see her fingers still have the red taint of Villanelle's blood, especially like under her fingernails, right?
Yeah.
And I think that is so hot.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's Villanelle's blood. Oh, something about it, which would only really be intimate or hot in this relationship, right? In this ship.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, too, because there's a lot of intimacy around hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, interestingly, around her fingernails is where that blood is, like you mentioned. And I think it's almost like Villanelle's is buried in the crevices, right?
Mm.
Of the most intimate parts of her. Because your hands do so much for you. They feed you. They clothe you. You know, like, they are your ultimate tools, you know? And I think there's a lot of intimacy in that. Also, they'd be good for fucking, but...
You're not wrong.
Sorry, had to bring it back real quick. But yeah, I do think that. Also, the fact that it never fully washes off in this episode.
Yeah.
I feel like we consistently see it. And it shows you how present it is in her mind as well. She can't get rid of it.
Mm. And then she comes back, right?
She
tries. And this man is looking at her like, ma'am, you can't just leave. Like, the security line, you know? And then she has a really good line, or the way she delivers it is just so good. When she's like, I had a bad oyster. She says it almost like it's a question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so suspicious, right? But this man kind of looks at her and is like, she's not a threat. Like, she's not threatening at all. It's just this woman, right? And I think in that instance, it really reminds me of when people underestimate Villanelle because she is a woman and because she doesn't look threatening. Right? And Eve doesn't look threatening, but she just all kinds of stabs someone.
Mm-hmm. It's like, sir, if you looked at her hands, which she is openly, like, trembling, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would see that she has blood all over her. Like, look closely. But once again, yeah. They underestimate her, and she's able to pass through, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, and once again, it shows parallels between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And how Eve is slowly, slowly catching monkeys. She's slowly, slowly becoming darker and becoming more similar to Villanelle than she realizes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like it. And then, of course, we transition to Eve at the bar. Once again, hyperfixating on only the one action, the one feeling, right? The sensation mm-hmm. of, like, stabbing herself over and over with a pen. I think it's interesting she's stabbing herself.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting she's doing it specifically with her hand. And the pen she's holding is in her right hand, which is the hand she used to stab Villanelle.
Yeah.
So I think that is really interesting. She's like, I need to kind of continue the motion. And, like, what did she feel? I think that's where her mind is.
Yes. I also think there's some level of guilt there as well.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. For sure. Oh, my God. And then she gets approached by a woman. And it's so funny. Because the way that this woman approaches, she was like, are you okay? And Eve is like, I'm fine. like, looking around real feral. And she's like, I'm fine.
And then the music changes, right? And it gets really intense. And even I'm like, oh my god, she's part of the 12. Like, she knows what's going on. She's yeah. either here to recruit her or to kill her, you know?
Either way, we're afraid, you know? And the woman's like, don't panic. I know how you're feeling. Exactly how you're feeling. And once again, clutching my pearls. Like, real nervous. And then Eve, like, looks at her and she's like, huh, like, what? Like, real paranoid. And she says, I don't know what you're talking about. And the woman's all knowing, like, I think you do. It was too much for my little heart. And then Eve is real panicked and she's like, who are you? And this woman gives this vague ass response of, just a friend.
That's terrifying. You know, like, after what she's been through, I'd be shitting my pants.
Yes. And then the woman goes on to explain, she's like, I was just like you. Have you thought about meetings? And then this is when Eve breaks and she's like, oh my god, you think I'm a junkie? Which, if y'all don't know, a junkie is someone that, like, you know, is addicted to drugs or does, like, harder drugs, you know?
Yeah. And she just laughs in her face, just hysterically.
And the woman is like, okay, I was trying to be nice. Like, you know, it takes an addict to know one.
Yes. And, you know, Eve keeps laughing because she's like, she doesn't know anything. She just thinks, you know, I'm acting weird because I'm an addict, but I'm not. But realistically, she's an addict.
Yes, her drug is Villanelle, and she just was, like, forced herself to quit cold turkey.
Yeah.
At least to her mind, because she just killed her drug, her source.
Exactly. And I think that's part of the reason why she's acting the way that she is. Mm-hmm. I think that part of it is the guilt, and part of it is the fact that she all kinds of just stabbed someone, and that's, you know, traumatic in and of itself. But I think another part is that she is addicted to Villanelle, and she thinks she's no longer going to have any kind of access to her.
Mm-hmm. So she's literally starting to go through withdrawals.
Oof.
Oof. And that's rough. I just think it's so funny because one of the things the lady says too is like, you may not think you have a problem now. Most addicts don't.
Mm.
And I don't think Eve has accepted that she is an addict.
Definitely.
I think she knows that she has a problem. I think she thinks that the blame is like on other things or just like on the action of stabbing Villanelle. But I don't think she understands the root addiction she has.
Yeah. And how deep it goes.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love that, like, this scene ends with her just, like, breaking down and laughing. It's so funny.
I do love me a good Sandra Oh laugh.
So hearty. So good.
And then meanwhile, we have Villanelle just staggering through the streets trying to, like, get a ride, right? And it's really sad because nobody stops for her. And I think it's genuinely because she looks homeless. And she's not used to that. She's used to getting what she wants because she's gorgeous and she's dressed up, you know? But right now, she's at her lowest low.
Yeah, I think, like, what, 5 cars pass her or something? Or, like, multiple, enough cars. And then finally, this girl makes a decision. Which I think is so smart. And I, once again, I think Villanelle is really good at showing us how good she is at surviving. Doing what she must to survive. Mm-hmm. And she just chunks herself at this taxi. And, like, literally gets tossed like a rag doll onto the ground. And I'm like, this girl is already stabbed. You know, mm-hmm. And now she's getting hit by a car by choice, but like still concerning.
Yeah. But like you said, she does what she's got to do to survive. It has the same energy to me as when she bit Inga in the like the neck and like her jugular vein, like a feral animal. She's like, whatever I got to do, I got to do it.
Yeah. Even if it's gross, even if it's weird, I got to do it. Got to survive. Mm-hmm. And she does get a ride with this like taxi man, right?
This poor man.
And she screams at him, like, drive faster! And she's like, this is your fault! Mm-hmm. And he's like, but you threw yourself at my car!
And but no one's gonna believe that, right?
No. And then, you know, she asks him, she's like, okay, how far to the hospital or whatever? And he's like, 10 minutes? And she laughs, and I love the little laugh she does, because it's like, oh, you better drive faster!
Mm-hmm.
And then she says the title of the episode, which is, do you know how to dispose of a body? And this man is sobbing. Oh my god.
It's really funny. It's really interesting, you know, to me always who says the title of the episode in what situation. Because when I first saw this episode, or before I saw it and I read the title, I was like, oh my god, is she disposing of Villanelle's body? Like, what's happening? You know? Mm-hmm. But then it's really funny that the body that I thought they were referring to is the one that is saying the phrase.
That's really funny. Yeah. I feel like if just, like, looking at it cold, the title of the episode, that's really ominous.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. And then they get to the hospital, right? And he just dumps her body and drives away.
And she, at this point, she's like passed out, right?
Yeah.
Like she barely made it to the hospital. And I'm like, poor baby.
Yeah. And I'm just like, protect her. Protect Villanelle always.
Exactly.
Oh my God. Oh, and then we transition to Eve on the train, right?
Yes.
And this girl looks like so out of it.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
And there's an etched heart, right, on the table that's in front of her on the train. And I think this is really interesting because she, like, reaches out and traces a finger. Like, still, mind you, like, a dried, bloody finger, right?
Yeah.
And as she, like, you know, traces it, you can very much so feel that she is, like, thinking about Villanelle. Because how can she not at this point when, like, she literally just stabbed her? And I think what's interesting, too, is that, you know, kind of, like, how Eve stabbed Villanelle, like, she's permanently scarred her, ultimately, if she is still alive in Eve's mind. Like, because she doesn't know. And the way whoever decided to etch that in has permanently scarred that table, right? Yeah. I mean, it can be taken out, but it's going to take a lot of work. And ultimately, that table will never be the same. Just like Villanelle will never be the same.
Oh, I love that.
And I think, thank you. And then it makes you wonder, too, the person that did etch in that heart, you know, a heart is very symbolic for love. So it's like whoever did etch that probably did it out of love, right?
It was an act of love.
Yeah, to do a heart, something that is saying, like, hey, love the world, but, like, doing it and leaving a scar in the process. So it makes you wonder, like, is Eve reflecting on why she did what she did and wondering if, was it an act of love?
That's definitely how Villanelle sees it, right? Mm-hmm,
definitely. And, like, that scar is now a proclamation of that love in a weird, twisted, strange way.
In a Villeneuve way.
Very Villeneuve. And I love it. And I really love that symbolism. Right?
I do. Because it's obviously meant to represent something. It's very purposeful that she is tracing the etched heart, right? Mm-hmm. There is a lot of romance to it, definitely.
Definitely. Oh, I love it. Their love is like, I think it's a great representation of their love, too. It's rough, it's jagged, and it's definitely cut deep, you know? And it's going to cut a lot deeper over time. I mean, I'm excited. It's
fun. Do you think at this point they are in love?
I don't know. I think that they are. I think they fell in love when they met each other in the bathroom. And Eve and Villanelle, like, had that weird interaction. It was very charged before they even really knew who the other was, right? Yeah. I really think they fell in love at that point. I think, for the most part, they've been in a weird cycle, right? Where they don't know if they love each other, if they hate each other, if they're enemies, if whatever they are. Yeah. I think there's a lot of lust involved in it. I think this season does explore a little bit of that love, but I don't know fully if they understand, if they've accepted that love for each other.
Definitely. I think for me, I agree. I think that they fell in love when they met, right? I think it was love at first sight, and Phoebe Waller-Bridge has confirmed this. I think that their journey is not about the process of falling in love. It's about the process of discovering that they are in love with each other.
Mm-hmm. And I think Villanelle always gets there sooner than Eve does. And I think a lot of the times we are stalled by Eve, which is okay because she's still trying to figure herself out.
Yeah.
And we respect that.
And then we have Villanelle startling awake at the hospital.
Yeah. And then the doctor, you know, she talks to him. And he, you know, is like, oh, we didn't know, like, you know, who you were. You didn't have any identification on you. And then she inquires about, like, her stab wound. And he's like, you know, we patched you up, essentially. Like, we gave you stitches. And he also explains that the way that she was stabbed didn't hit any vital organs.
Yeah.
So that's really, really lucky, right? Because it's the lower abdomen. And Villanelle does seem relieved. And she does ask, she's like, what am I on? And he's like, painkillers and stuff and antibiotics. And she's like, okay. But she seems really out of it. Like, you can kind of tell she's, like, not well.
I think she's very dizzy because of the painkillers and everything. Because she's like, what am I on? Like, very much so startling awake, ready to run. And she's like, why can't I run? You know? And she even asks, like, has anyone come looking for me? And I think part of it is, like, has Eve come looking for me? But also, has the 12 come looking for me?
Yeah, the three scary paramedics that were, like, raiding her apartment, right? Like, they're probably going to look for her. And I think what's interesting is even though Villanelle is kind of in this foggy state, her immediate reaction is survival, yes, but also I need to manipulate a situation to stay safe.
Definitely, definitely. And she does very quickly and easily.
Yeah, she lies to the doctor and essentially says, like, I was stabbed by my husband who's part of the police. Like, please don't report it. And he's like, I can keep your, like, information off the, like, off our medical records. But the next, like, next doctor on call might not feel the same way. Mm-hmm. And, like, he tells her, like, I'm going to be off in the evening. And she's like, oh shit, like, yeah, I need to get out of here.
Yeah, she looks at the clock, right? But I can't tell time, so I don't really know what's happening.
It's like 4.
Okay, thank you.
And then as he's going, it's really cute because, you know, we've had this kind of dramatic scene where, like, Villanelle's lying and, like, crying almost. But then she sees some lollipops.
And she's like, can I have one?
And the doctor's like, they're usually for children, ma'am.
Yeah. And I'm like, she is a child, but okay. Yeah. And then he leaves. And then she, like, looks, like, to the right of the lollipops, and there's some stickers, and she's like, oh, stickers.
She's like, her little tongue's poking out, and I'm like, oh, baby, protect her.
Again, protect Villanelle, always.
Always. Ugh. And then Eve is finally home, but she's on the phone, and you can tell that she's talking to, like, French, like, officials, right? And she's inquiring about a stab wound. And because we know that Villanelle essentially convinced them to keep her information and, like, her whole procedure or whatever off the record, they're not going to report that there's been any stab wounds in the hospital. And Eve looks devastated.
Because she thinks she didn't make it to a hospital. Mm-hmm. You know, she probably died on the side of the road.
Yeah, and I think it's all finally hitting her. I think it's the first time she's been truly alone since the whole stabbing, right? Because she's been in busy train stations, and even, like, in the bathroom, there's still people, and, like, on the train, there's tons of people. So I think this is the first time she's really gotten to be alone and is truly sitting with those emotions, and she's like, I think I killed her, you know? We see the full weight of that, and I think that's really powerful.
Yeah, she, like, leans against a wall and, like, closes her eyes, and, like, she's going through it.
Truly. And what's interesting, too, is before we get to the scene, like, as the scene is opening up and we just hear Eve on the phone and she's, like, down the hallway, as it pans across, we see multiple pictures of her and Nico, right? Mm-hmm. Looking very happy, very much so, like, an in-love couple. And it's, like, that's the normal she cannot return to.
Yeah. She's far gone from that.
Like, she had what all those couples she, like, you know, came upon had at one point, hypothetically, or, you know.
Yeah.
But that is now gone. Her life will never be the same. And I think that is fascinating. I love the constant contrast of that.
Same, same. That was a good catch.
And then we're back at the hospital with Villanelle.
And she has a lollipop in her mouth and a little sticker, like, on her little chest. Like, she just... Ugh.
I really appreciate that she was like, I'm going to get my damn lollipop and my damn sticker because I'm a child and I'm going to have a good time.
That's basically what happened, and I love it.
I love it.
And then a nurse comes and gives her pills, right? And she's like, what is this? But the nurse doesn't say anything. It just leaves. So she immediately just chunks it.
I think that's really funny. And her bedmate, right, is like, you should take those.
Yeah, baby boy Gabriel.
Oh, we do love him.
But then Villanelle explains that she doesn't want to take the pills because she needs to be able to run because bad people are chasing her. And then she says, and I need to go and visit my girlfriend in London.
Her girlfriend. Oh, I love it. I love that she says her girlfriend. That's so tender. Even though, like, Eve just stabbed her. She's like, that was a proclamation of love. I heard it loudly. And I accept it. You know? I love it.
And then Villanelle asks, like, you know, like, what happened to you? And he explains he was in a car accident and all of this. And he says that they had to take skin from his leg and put it on his face. And Villanelle's disgusted. She's like, oh, no, like, stop talking about it. Which I think is hilarious because there's a whole assassin. Like, she's used to, like, gruesome and bloody things. But she's like, oh, no, disgusting. And then he asks, you know, what happened to you? And she said, stab wound. It's really gooey.
I love the use of the word gooey. I think that is so cute. She's such, like, a little kid. I love it. And Gabriel's really cute. He's like, no way, a man stabbed you?
Mm-hmm.
And she looks at him like, how dare you? She's a little offended. And yeah. She's like, no, a woman stabbed me.
And he says, women don't stab.
And Villanelle's, I love what she says here. She says, I know, it surprised me too. And then she reaches down and, like, she starts to rub the spot where her wound is, right? Her stab wound. And she's like, but she did it to show me how much she cared about me. Once again, this is an act of love in her eyes.
Yeah.
Which it is, to some extent. But Gabriel's, like, looking at her like she's real delusional.
Yeah, he's like, that's stupid. And then she gets offended. She's like, no, it isn't. Sometimes when you love someone, you will do crazy things.
I love that. I really, really, really love that. I think it's so cute. It's like, oh boy, if only you knew about this little thing called love. But like, this is not your stereotypical romance, right?
Yeah. I love it. And this line is when it comes, like, circulates on, like, the internets a lot, right? Because I feel like it's very representative of their relationship. Because they do crazy things. And true. They are in love.
And then she kind of talks to Gabriel, and you can tell that she's kind of, like, stirring her mind, right? Looking for, like, okay, how can I, like, get what I need to do to get out of here, right? And she says to him, do you want to play a game? And that is literally a line extracted from season 1, episode 1, when she talks to Davide, right?
The little boy.
Yeah, the little boy with, like, Salvatore Greco, right?
Mm-hmm.
To get him, like, killed, right? And I'm like, damn, like, she really does. Like, this is how she views children. Let's play a game, you know? Very manipulative.
That's, I always love seeing Villanelle with children. It says a lot, I think, about her.
Definitely. I think she's more herself with children. I think she's a lot more honest with them. And it kind of shocks us because she's not honest with a lot of people. But I think with children, she is, because she kind of is like my equals, you know?
Yeah.
I think she also is like, they're not threatening. You know what I mean?
I agree. All right. And then before we move on, do you want to go ahead and take a break?
Yes. We'll be right back. Hi, y'all. We just wanted to take a moment to discuss COVID-19 and the escalating number of cases in the United States. In the United States, a disproportionate number of minorities have been hit the hardest by COVID-19 due to systemic racism that prevents access to proper medical care and personal protective equipment. As a community, it is our responsibility to take care of each other. Please stay safe and be aware. Black lives matter. Black trans lives matter. We can all do our part to keep each other safe. Please remember to wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart when possible, wash your hands, and stay safe. We really appreciate all of our listeners, and we want y'all to stay safe too. Happy listening.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
So we are at Eve's house, and she has lost her marble, her single marble.
Yeah, she has none of the brain cells right now. She's, like, bopping along to, like, the song Kids in America, which is, like, really precious. She's out of it.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many, like, close-up shots in this specific scene, and I think it's meant to do multiple things, right? Because I think we are completely in Eve's head, and Eve is completely in her head.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think it adds a sense of, like, surrealness to it, because there's kind of this loss of, like, space, right?
Yeah.
Because we're just in her face, seeing every, like, little flicker of emotion. And it's hilarious.
It's a really funny scene, and it's something I feel like that we don't expect, because we've seen her be, like, really intense, right? Up until now.
Yeah.
And then suddenly she just bopping along, singing. What I think is so cute is she clearly doesn't know the words of the song. She just kind of mumbles, and then she's like, whoa, you know?
Because she's just here to have a good time. I think she's using the music to help her, like, hyper-focus on the task at hand. My favorite is when it's, like, you know, because the whole thing is her cutting carrots, like, yeah, aggressively. And there's this hilarious moment. It's very small. And it's, like, she's cutting carrots, and then it pans to her deranged laughing. And it pans back down to her, like, cutting carrots, and then it pans back to her, like, serious face. And I think the juxtaposition is really funny, because she really does, like, her face is like, oh my god, I'm having a great time cutting these carrots. She's out of it. It's so funny.
Yeah, I agree. And notably, her hair is up in this scene. She does not wear it down. And I think it's because she's trying to suppress some things, you know?
Oh, for sure.
She's, like, the opposite of letting go.
I love Eve spiraling. I think this scene is hilarious. Oh my god. And then we have the whole scene with the knife.
Yeah, yeah. She has a whole moment because, you know, she's remembering, right?
I really like this because, you know, obviously we understand what she's doing when she has a moment with a knife and she, like, runs her fingers along it. We understand that is Eve thinking back to stabbing Villanelle,
yes,
right? And we also get kind of a close-up of her fingernails, which are still dirty, which, first of all, man, like, wash your hands. But it's so fucking funny because Eve is hyper-fixating on it, right? And it's, it's interesting because, you know, she just did the most, like, brutal thing you can do with a knife, which is stab somebody. Mm-hmm. And now she's doing the most domestic thing she can possibly do. She's reverting straight back to her normalcy as harshly as possible. Mm. Right?
That's really interesting. Like, using the same tool, mm-hmm. but for very, very different things.
With the action of, like, I'm going to cook for my husband. I'm going to be as domestic as humanly possible. But then there's still that draw, right? That remembrance of, like, that normalcy is no longer there. Like, this knife no longer holds the simplicity of chopping up carrots, right? Mm-hmm. Because I just stabbed the love of my life with it.
You know? The love of my life.
Oh, my God. And as she's, like, doing this, right, the echoing lyrics from the song are, I'm not leaving now, honey, not a chance.
Ooh.
We know what that means.
Villanelle's not leaving. Like, even if she is dead, like, you know, which Eve doesn't know at this point, she's never going to leave her.
Exactly. It's that shared trauma that's pulling them together. It's that the action of the knife, right?
Yeah.
It's bringing them together.
Ooh, boy. Ooh. And then Nico gets there. And she kind of snaps out of it, right? Because he's there and they start talking. And she immediately lies and says that her work trip was boring.
Yeah, she's like, fine, fine, it was boring. And then she laughs, like, kind of deranged.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, you seem normal.
Yeah. Like, and then it's really funny when Nico points out, he's like, that's a lot of vegetables. Because the camera pans out and you see a shit ton of vegetables, like, on the counter.
And it's funny because, once again, we've been in these, like, super up-close, like, shots, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's just, like, up-close of hands chopping, up-close of, like, boiling water, or just, like, Eve laughing derangedly because she's chopping and having a great time with the carrots and the knife and all of that. But then to pan out, you see the reality, and it's just, like, it's just a mess. It is hilarious. I love this scene so much.
And Nico, like, turns off the radio, right? And Eve is like, hey, which I think is really cute. But he wants to have a serious conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And Eve, you know, is like, I know I was a dick to you, but I'm cooking you dinner to apologize, essentially.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, we can go back to normal. And once again, he's like, well, you seem completely normal, whatever. And then she's, like, just bouncing around the kitchen, having a great time. Like, everything's good. Everything's fine. I'm good. Everything's fine. Work was boring. I'm fired. It's fine. Like, so fucking funny. And then he's like, well, what are you cooking? And she explains, like, whatever it is. And then he opens up the fridge and finds the chicken.
Yeah.
And he's like, this chicken?
Yeah.
And she pauses like, oh, what? I didn't cook it?
Yeah. She, like, I feel like in that moment, she is forced to accept that she's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like, the energy just kind of zaps out of her. And you realize that, like, she also is out of control in the sense that, like, she really isn't controlling her actions as much as she thinks she is.
Yeah. Definitely. She really has lost her marble.
Her single marble. Villanelle has her marble maybe right now because she's in survival mode, but, like,
her marble's, like, cracked.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. And then, of course, we have Eve in the bathtub, right? Looking completely defeated.
Yes. And she's just kind of sitting there with her legs, like, pressed up against her chest, right? Like, looking very, very small. She looks down on her hands and... notably, they're still dirty, right? Like, you can still see a little bit of blood under her fingernails.
Mm-hmm. And she lifts them out of the bathwater because clearly she's been soaking them with the intention of, like, I need to get these out. And it's like, it won't leave. Like, this reminder won't leave. Her blood won't leave. The trauma of it won't leave. And I think that's really important because it's making her... it's also showing us as an audience where she's at.
Yeah.
Right? It's still very much so visibly on her, you know? Mm-hmm. That, like, the emotions of it all. She hasn't processed. Her hair is down because she is in the bathtub. I think that's very interesting because, once again, it's a moment of, like, isolation. She's alone initially in this scene. Mm-hmm. And I think she is delving into those emotions a bit, whether she wants to or not.
I think it's the acceptance of it. Like, she was forced to accept it when the whole chicken situation happened. Mm-hmm. So now this is her accepting it, which, you know, the way it manifests, she's essentially, like, traumatized, right? And accepting the fact that she's traumatized.
Mm-hmm. And once again, Eve can't exist in, like, a medium happy place. Like, she's very much so, like, high highs and low lows.
Yeah.
Because she's manic. She's just going back and forth while she's trying to process all of it. Which is really interesting to watch how she, like, what her highs look like, which apparently is just chopping carrots aggressively, which once again is hilarious. And then kind of going back to that childish theme that we've seen, or motif that's popped up in this episode, she's like a child in a bathtub, curled up and as small as possible. Mm. So, I think, once again, she's reverting back to those childlike comforts.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good observation. I think even the song Kids in America is very childlike as well.
Absolutely.
And then Carolyn keeps calling Eve, right? And so that prompts Nico to come into the bath. And then that prompts Nico to come into the bathroom and be like, well, are you going to answer that? And, like, you've been here for over an hour and all these things.
And then Nico does try to provide some comfort, right? He's mm-hmm. like, has something happened? Because he sees how, like, small and defeated she seems. And she says the small is like, no.
Yeah. Like, and then she starts crying.
Yeah, she's like, nothing happened. Like, real small, and it's all broken on the verge of tears. And he feels very fatherly, where he's like, you can tell me. And I'm like,
that's gross to describe him as a father.
I feel like it has that energy, though, of, like, a parent being like, I need to, like, you know, comfort you. And which is very disconcerting, because he's her whole husband.
Yeah.
But once again, she's claimed before that, like, I married my father. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know, that dynamic is not working for them. Because she doesn't need a father right now. She already has a daddy.
She has her daddy, yeah. I don't know, I didn't read it that way, but definitely could have been read that way. I think for me, I actually do sympathize with Nico, because he really just wants to know what's going on. You know, he just like, just tell me. You know, like, I know you work with some fucked up shit. Like, are you in trouble? Like, are you in danger? Just tell me. You know, and she can't. She doesn't.
But also, Nico gives up very quickly. He's like, fine. And he leaves. And I'm like, damn, you really just gave up on trying to have a whole conversation with her. Yeah. I think this is because he knows that, like, no matter how hard he pushes, he's not going to get that. Yeah. But I'm still kind of like, damn, dude, you gave up real quick. Yeah. You didn't even kind of try, like, beyond this teeny tiny moment.
Yeah.
That's probably less than a minute.
Before he does leave, though, he does say, don't, right? Like, don't answer the phone. And Eve says, I have to. But I think, you know, that's layered, right? It's not just about answering the phone. Like, he's like, don't dive into this. Don't do this. Don't leave me behind. And Eve is like, I have to, because something else is pulling me away.
Ooh, I like that. Don't leave me behind. Because he knows he is going to be left behind. Mm-hmm. He's just collateral at this point, you know? Ooh, I like that. And then we go back to Villanelle in the hospital. And little Gabriel, he's, like, hobbling on in. And he's, like, clutching, like, the stolen goods.
Yeah, and at this point, Villanelle looks at the clock again. But again, I don't know how to tell time.
I think at this time, it's, like, 8? Like, it's definitely later.
Yeah. Thank you. but, yeah, he waddles in. And I think it's really funny that Villanelle, like, rushes him. Like, this boy is clearly struggling and in pain. But he's, like, Villanelle's, like, get in here. Like, what's taking you so long?
She's like, get in, come on, hurry up.
Yeah.
And, like, it's so funny. And then, like, you know, she, like, snatches the stuff from him and is, like, going through it. And she's like, nice work. You're really good at stealing. And she's like, you should do it more.
Yeah.
And, like, he laughs and stuff. And then she delivers a great line. But one thing I think is really cute is she's so supportive with children.
Yeah.
She's like, good job. You've done well. And this horrible thing I've asked you to do, but thank you. Good job. Like,
I think she would be good at training children to be assassins.
Oh, definitely. I think this is what she does, though. Like, subconsciously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this is when he's like, you're funny. And Villanelle's like, yes, I am funny.
With the most, like, serious face. And he kind of looks at her like, okay.
Yeah, they have, like, a moment of, like, okay. And then they move on. But it's so funny.
It's such a short scene, but I'm really happy they left it in. Oh, my God. And then we have Eve in bed, right? And she gets a call from the unknown number.
Ooh, boy. And so, you know, we think, she thinks, everyone thinks, it's like Villanelle, it's the 12, it's something along those lines. And this girl, who, by the way, has been ignoring her phone, like, for most of the episode, is like, if there's even a chance that it's Villanelle, I'm gonna answer.
But so she does.
Yeah, but it's Armando from Rushmore Windows and Glazing.
And then she does the unthinkable, right? She's like, tell me about your windows, Armando. Tell me everything.
The unthinkable.
This girl is spiraling so hard, she's willing to have full conversations with telemarketers and then actually to buy the products, which are very expensive usually. Like, she's spiraling. She just needs something to cling on to. The most normal thing. And I think it's so funny.
So it's windows, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're back at the hospital, and Villanelle is wearing the white coat. The doctor coat, right, that Gabriel stole for her. Listen, she's looking so good. Like, honestly, Dr. Villanelle can probe me any day.
We need the Dr. AU, right? Like,
oh,
fanfic.
My God. That'd be really hot. Yes. This is another thing that y'all can write and, like, send to us. We'll pay you another $2. Dr. AU, Villanelle, secretly, like, killing patients or something. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no, that's too dark. Just AU in general.
No, I want it to be dark. Okay, okay, let's keep going.
Okay, so this is, like, one thing I do want to point out, and I feel like a lot of people, like, know this, but she's not wearing pants.
She's not wearing pants.
Why wouldn't this be a red flag to somebody to be like, yeah, she looks like a doctor from, like, the top up, but, like, mm-hmm. Where are her pants? What doctor walks around pantsless?
Yeah.
That is so strange.
Like, come on, Gabriel, like, get some fucking pants for this woman, you know?
But, like, the Linnell still, like, works with it. She makes it work and, like, commits to the shoes and everything.
Oh, my God, the shoes. I think it's because she walks and acts with such confidence mm-hmm. that people don't question her. You know, she's really good at that. But, yeah, give her some damn pants.
She's hobbling around. I think the funny part is, like, once again, I think facial expressions are really well executed here. Mm-hmm. As she's, like, slipping on the nasty pair of shoes that are clearly, like, used, well-worn, right? Very sweat-filled.
Ugh.
And I'm just saying, like, they look nasty. And she, like, slides them on, and she just, like, she grimaces. Mm-hmm. It is so good, though. And I feel like it's just a reminder. It's, like, low after low after low mm-hmm. with Villanelle. And we've seen her at such high places. And she's so low right now. And it's
with
so
really
gross.
Nice shoes. And now she's out here with, they're not even Crocs, you know, they're like off-brand Crocs.
That's so sad. And then she's out here stealing her meds, right?
Yeah, so she finds a room full of, like, drugs, and she just starts packing a bag, which is very smart.
I think it's really funny because it makes me think of the breath you kill, right? Because she concocted her own little, like, poisonous, like, spray.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a reminder, like, oh, Villanelle probably is grabbing exactly what she needs. She's very smart. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very, very exciting to see her get prepared to, like, move. Because I want her out of this space, really. Because it does make her feel very vulnerable. And I want to see her on the run.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's another one of those moments of, like, women in STEM.
Yeah. And then she makes a pit stop, right, to steal some money. She's like, ooh, money, yeah, gotta grab that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, like, gets caught in the act, but she's real smooth. She grabs the clipboard when the woman catches her mm-hmm. to make it look like she wasn't actually taking from her. And she still dresses a whole doctor.
Well, from the top part of her is just the doctor, yes.
Yes.
So, you know, the woman talks to her and is like, you know, are you the new doctor here? You know, overseeing my husband, all these things. And she's like, yes, okay, goodbye. But the woman stops her and she's like, do you have the results? And Villanelle is like, yes, your husband's condition is improving.
And this is after she all sorts of glances over at this man who's like, like, dying. Oh, just God, like,
he does not look well, babe. Sorry, I called you babe in the middle of the podcast. He does not look well,
though. He doesn't. This is, like, comedic gold. And then, like, the woman is, like, so overwhelmed that she, like, hugs her. And Villanelle's like, ugh. but then she sees, like, she, like, lifts the wallet or coin purse or whatever out of her. And then she's like, okay, I'll hug you.
Yeah.
But she's like, shh, shh, shh. Like, she's like, stop mm-hmm. yelling. And then she's like, shush. Like, quieting her, which I think is so funny.
I think about this lady a lot because I imagine what happens after. Like, her husband probably died, right? And she's like, but the doctor told me, what? The pantsless doctor.
The doctor with the three bruises on her head that fell off the horse.
Yeah.
Red sign. Red flags, man. Yeah. Red flags.
So she makes it back to her room, right? And she finds that the little coin purse doesn't really have anything useful. So she's talking to Gabriel and asks if he has any money. He says no, because, you know, he's a child. And then she's like, well, are your parents going to come? You know, do they have money? And he's like, they died in the car accident. And so she says, that's not helpful to me, Gabriel. Which I think is really funny.
Yeah, this woman is not here to sympathize or be compassionate. She is on a mission. She is 100% in survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect it. And at this point, he's like, you don't look so good. And she's like, shut up. And then she collapses.
Yeah.
And this always shakes me to my core. Like, when the way that she, like, hits the side of the bed mm-hmm. and, like, smacks the ground. It's so loud. Mm-hmm. And I'm never ready for it. And I'm never, like, emotionally ready to see her crumple on the ground.
Same. Because mm-hmm. I'm used to seeing her so powerful. And I'm like, no, my baby.
Yeah.
I will say, though, when she says, that's not helpful to me, Gabriel, it really reminds me of the season finale of season one, when Eve is talking about Constantine being dead, and she says, well, there goes that lead. Like, the insensitivity of it all, you know?
I think that's what makes, like, that's what is the dark humor at times,
mm-hmm.
but I also think it's really funny because they are so similar in that regard.
Yeah, it's like,
I think that's fucking hilarious.
Like, instead of being like, oh no, someone died, they're like, well, they're not useful to me.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we transition to Eve at the park, right? And there's Carolyn with a whole child on a bench.
Yeah, they're having a great conversation.
It's the first time I feel like we see Carolyn be really warm.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, her grandchild.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just really cute. And then, like, she rushes the child off when Eve arrives. His name's, like, Oliver or something. He, like, runs to go swing. And Eve sits down. And then Carolyn, of course, starts. It's not a question. She just states, Paris.
Yeah.
And Eve's like, Carolyn.
Yeah. You know? Like, she's about to apologize. And Carolyn's like, no, don't apologize. It's a waste of my time and yours.
Mm-hmm. And she continues going, right? And she says, a sudden urge to see the Mona Lisa, was it? Mm. And I think that's really pointed because it is, like, for Eve, she did go see the Mona Lisa. She saw the most beautiful woman in her world, which is Villanelle.
That's so romantic.
I think it's a very pointed comment, though. Mm. And it's, I really like it. And then Eve just says, I had a feeling.
Yeah, which she did have a feeling.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm sorry, I went to find Villanelle. Mm. And we're like, ooh, this confession. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. And then Carolyn continues, of course, and she says, I thought it might be that. And did you?
Yeah, and then Eve lies, right? Mm-hmm. And she says that she didn't, but that she found her apartment. She's like, she wasn't there. But Carolyn, you can tell that she doesn't believe her.
Yeah, because she's like, she wasn't there. Like, eyebrows raised, kind of like, very, very, like, unconvinced, right?
Yeah. And then Eve talks about the people that were dressed like paramedics, right, who killed the old lady.
Mm-hmm.
And Carolyn calls them the cleaners. That were probably sent by the 12, which I think is interesting that she knows so much.
Yeah, maybe that's just, like, kind of, like, a catch-all for what they probably are, but I do find that very suspicious. Another thing that Carolyn asks, which I think is really funny, she says, what's her flat like?
Yeah.
And Eve just says, chic as shit.
I love that.
Straight-ass face, you know?
I love that.
It's so funny.
And then Carolyn, you know, says that Villanelle is on the run, right?
Yeah, if she's alive.
She says, if she's alive. And Eve, like, looks around suspiciously.
Oh, my God. And Carolyn asks you, she's like, any ideas where she might have gone? Any feelings? So pointed.
And Eve says, no feelings.
But I like the way Eve says it. She's like, no feelings. It's so firm. Mm. It's almost like she's saying, like, I don't feel any of that. I'm not letting myself feel those things. Mm-hmm. You know?
But you know she'd be feeling.
Yes, this woman's all sorts of, like, deranged, cutting carrots and having a moment with a knife. Like, don't lie to us, Eve. You were just sobbing in the bath. Like,
she's like, no feelings. What?
She's like, I've never had any of those. Like, oh my God. And then the child is leaving, and Eve's like, Carolyn!
Yeah, because the man is, like, dragging him out, you know?
And the boy's like, I don't want to leave!
Yeah.
And I think this part is really funny because, like, Eve's, like, kidnapping? He's being taken? And yeah. Carolyn's like, I don't know him.
Yeah. She's like, it's probably his father, Eve. And she's like, isn't he with you? And she's like, I've never seen him before in my life. Which I think is so funny that Carolyn was just out here, like, making friends with a child. Like,
which is so, like, seems out of character, right? But also makes sense. Because yeah. She's an enigma for the most part.
Yeah.
Especially at this point. I think even to, like, season 3 now, she's still an enigma to me. You know?
Yeah. Like, but this little joke is just so funny to me.
It's so nonchalant. And, like, once again, like, moving on very quickly.
Yeah. She's like, anyway, let's go.
And then, of course, we go into the next scene, which is Eve and Carolyn coming out of this, like, brutalist building, right? So we can assume that it's government-affiliated, right?
Mm-hmm.
With, like, kind of architecture. And they're kind of talking about Villanelle.
Yes. And Carolyn says that MI6 is sending over a team to Villanelle's apartment, right? But that they're probably not going to find anything, or she wouldn't be surprised if, like, a couple had already, like, moved in there.
Mm-hmm. And then it's really funny because they reach the end of the stairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Eve's like, well, that's it. Like, you fired me. And, like, kind of like, I'm trying to say goodbye. Like, I'm done. Like,
yeah.
I'm doing the last what I need to do and I'm going to move on. I'm going to attempt to. And Carolyn's like, what?
Yeah, like, she forgot that she fired her.
Yes. Carolyn's really funny, right? She says, oh, yes, I did. And she's like, well, lucky for you, circumstances have changed.
Yeah. It's really interesting that she just assumed that she would want her job back. Which, you know, she assumes correctly because it's Eve, right? But at first she kind of, like groans, like, ugh. But then she just follows her because she's like, of course I'm going to follow you. Like, if there's a chance that I get to figure out, like, what the fuck is going on with Villanelle.
Mm-hmm. This is her excuse to get back in, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, I will begrudgingly do it. But we all know this girl is, like, wet for this job, oh, and this opportunity. I just, and it's really funny because Carolyn even says, like, come on, like, let's go. Like, yeah, a little puppy. Like, I know what you want. Let's go.
And then we're back at the hospital, and Villanelle's waking up in her hospital bed.
And it's clearly, like, the next day.
Yes, which is bad, because that means that the other doctor is there, who probably did report that she's there.
Mm-hmm. And Gabriel's really funny. He says, you snore, you know. And she's just an asshole. She was like, yeah, well, your parents are dead.
It's so funny, but he laughs.
It's that morbid sense of humor.
Yeah. And then that's when she's like, do you have any clothes? And he's like, yeah, over there. And then she puts on the iconic pajamas.
Oh my god. The little onesie.
Yeah. Ooh. I like that she, like, she looks at them and she's like, sexy. Like,
but the way she says sexy floors me each time, because it's so, like, husky and good, but also, like, fuck this, you know? I love it.
I think she looks adorable in the pajamas. Like, it's just, oh, it's so precious.
And it's funny because right after she puts them on, she, like, Gabriel's talking to her, right? He's like, you can look if you want. And she's like, what? Like, from the other side. And then he's like, under my bandages. And then she like, pulls back the curtain. She's like, what? Like, very confused. And she, like, it's too small for her. The onesie.
Yes, it is.
It makes her boobs look great. I will never deny this.
My goodness. You know, usually I'm the one that makes the sexual comments, but this episode, you've been really feeling it.
I know, I'm just letting loose, y'all. I'm so sorry. This is season two for y'all. Woo!
Oh, yes. Yeah. So her tits? Yes. But then she does look under the bandage, right? And it looks real bad.
Yeah, he's like, is it bad? Please tell me the truth. And she's like, are you sure?
Yeah.
And he's like, yes.
And then she, what does she tell him? Like, you look like a pizza.
And he's like, what? I'm a monster. And she's really offended because she's like, you asked me to be honest, Gabriel. Like, why are you upset with me? I just think it's really cute because it's like she made a whole friend in the hospital, right? It's slightly complicated because she's kind of an asshole to him, like, 95% of the time. But then she can be really tender with him, which I really like.
It's, I really like their friendship, actually. Mm-hmm. I think it's really sweet.
Same. All right, we're going to go ahead and take another break real quick, but we'll be right back.
Welcome back.
So we're going to pick up right where we left off, which is Eve and Carolyn arriving at the morgue.
Yes, and they meet up with Julia, and Carolyn and Julia have a very homoerotic moment.
Yeah, like, they embrace, like, lost lovers, you know?
Yes. It has the same energy as, like, her with, like, Constantine or her with Vladimir, like, in season one.
Oh, for sure. And Julia, like, after they, like, pull back, she's like, God, your hair smells delicious. First of all, the word delicious, that's homoerotic.
Only gay people say that word.
We're the only ones allowed. That's so funny. They have such good chemistry.
I agree.
I love it.
And then Julia turns to Eve and she's like, this is her. And Carolyn is like, this is she. And they just look at her.
So funny. And then the lady just turns to her. Julia just turns to her, right? And she says, beer? And Carolyn's like, why not? Which I think is so cute. But also, like, Eve the whole time is like, where are we? What is this? What's happening? So confused.
She's very confused, but she just pulls out, like, a shit ton of alcohol, right?
Yeah, like, Julia's just prepped for any moment to have a party. Like, a whole cocktail party. It's so fucking funny.
And then they go and look at a corpse, right?
Mm-hmm. And Eve's like, oh my, can I sit down? Like, she's overwhelmed, because it's nasty, too, because Julia explained, she's like, this one's been dead in the ground for a while.
Yeah.
Like, we had to dig it out. And then she's like, can I get you something? A water? Whiskey? And then Eve is just, like, clutching herself, kind of like, what? A burger?
Yeah.
I want a burger?
Which is really, really funny. And Julia's like, ah, of course. Makes sense.
She's like, it's the formaldehyde. It makes you crave meat. Which is the scariest thing to say in a morgue, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, kind of disgusting. But then we get an immediate, like, jump cut, right?
Mm-hmm.
To them finishing eating. And Kellen's like, God, that was good. But, like, oh, the shot pans, it's like the shot comes up, right? So it's like it pans up. And so you see the body first. And then you see them being like, ah, delicious, you know?
It's so good. It's so good. And then Carolyn explains kind of a little bit of what's going on, right? Because Eva's like, can you just fucking tell me why I'm here?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, she reveals that the corpse is Alistair Peel, who is, like, some famous techie guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently Nadia's note, you know, that we saw her write in season one, which was addressed to Eve, said Alistair Peel. So they're like, what's going on? Is it Villanelle? Like, why was it addressed to you? Like, kind of, that's the main reason she's there.
I still think that this is really strange that this is what Nadia wrote on that letter. And I think it's cool that it was addressed to Eve, but why this name and why only that? I mean, I know she was like writing with a stub, but like, I really do think that it's very strange because how would Nadia know about Alistair Peel or anything? Like, I just think it's very strange.
I have a theory.
What is your theory?
My theory is they done fucked up. They done fucked up the plot. Because this makes no fucking sense.
Oh my god. This is like sign number one that Phoebe Waller-Bridge is not running the show. Okay. Like, no disgrace or no like dissing to season two. I just, different showrunners, you know?
Yeah.
You just but kind of a different tone.
I think season one left this little present to season two and was like, you can come up with what Nadia wrote, right? And season two was like, well, we already have a plot, so I guess we gotta shove her in there somehow so we don't just forget about her.
Yeah, but I feel like the note could have said anything, and I feel like this is kind of like low bar. Like, the fact that it's a throwaway almost
mm-hmm.
kind of sucks because mm-hmm. it's that tension building, right? It's
yeah,
I feel like that was kind of lost there.
The fact that, like, as we were recording season one and talking about Nadia's like note, I was like, what does it say, you know?
Yeah.
Because one, I'm interested because it's like, oh my god, like, literally her dying like action was to write this letter to Eve, and two, I forgot.
Yeah.
And I will forget this probably next week. I'll be like, what did Nadia write again?
You know? Oh my god. Yeah, it just feels unimpactful.
Yeah.
You know, for someone's like dying words.
And again, it doesn't make sense because why would she know about Alistair Peel? She's not really anyone important in the 12.
Yeah, it didn't give off that impression like during the whole thing.
If anything, I think she should have written Constantine as part of the 12. Because, you know, she saw him in the interview and, like, all these things or whatever. I don't know. At the end of the day, I think they just done fucked up.
Yeah, I think they need to kind of tie it back in, but weren't sure how.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let us know if you think this was, like, a good use of it. We will disagree with you.
Just so you know, you're wrong.
But, like, if you have a good argument for it or, like, a good, like, backup or whatever, like, I'd love to hear it because I'm not sold on it fully.
Same. Anyway.
Yes. Eve turns around, right, and she's like, realizes, she's like, you think he was murdered. You think it was, but she can't bring herself to say, Villanelle.
She did say it at the park, though.
Mm-hmm.
But she can't say it now.
Mm-mm.
Which I think is interesting. Because this, I think, is getting back in the game to her, you know?
But also, like, I think what she says to Carolyn in the park is very much so scripted in her brain.
Mm.
She's ready for it.
Yeah.
Like, emotionally, but she's not ready in this moment.
Ooh, that's true. And then Carolyn says, yes, so I thought I'd draft in the head of the fan club.
I really enjoy that because, once again, like, that's what Eve says, right? When she initially, like, you know, air quotes, like, interviews Eve. And because Eve just says, like, I'm just a fan, right? Mm-hmm. And we find out she's a major fan.
She is the head of the fan club.
She is the whole fan club.
And then Eve doesn't really say anything for a bit. Like, she's trying to be stubborn and not play along. But she can't help it. And she finally is like, okay, how did he die? You know, like, she gives in.
It's really tense the way she says it, too. Like, she can't help but say it. And, like, she's trying to hold it back, but she can't help it.
Yeah. And then Carolyn gives a little smile because she knows she's got her hooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the little smile to me says, like, there she is. There's the head of the Villanelle fan club. There's my girl. I'm gonna use the shit out of her to get what I need, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. And then we're back at the hospital, and Villanelle is getting ready to go, right? She says she's going to London to see her girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. And Gabriel's really cute. He's like, what if she stabs you again?
And she's like, she won't. And, like, rolls her eyes, like, ugh.
Yeah, and he's all worried. He's like, how do you know?
And she's like, I know her better now. I know her better than anyone. And she does, like, a little tiny smile. And then she says, better than she knows herself.
I love this. I love that this is the theme for this whole, like, the overarching theme, right? That, like, encompasses the show. Because it's, like, she recognizes that darkness in Eve.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if, like, Eve recognizes it in herself fully or has come to terms with it at all, right? But it's Villanelle trying to say, like, hey, like, you know, season one, the whole theme or motif that we had was like mirrors, right? Like we reflect each other. Mm-hmm. And I think Villanelle's like, I understand the reflection now and I want to tell you about it.
Yes, you but know? Eve is very much so not willing to hear it.
Yeah, or see it. Like she very much so actively denies it.
Yeah.
Which I think is very interesting. And once again, that tug and pull I think is achieved. But yeah, I'm really excited. And I think it parallels that from last season. It's building on that, which I enjoy. Yeah. And then Villanelle gives this little chuckle, right? And she tells Gabriel, never trust people on their looks. You can see the scary people a mile away. It's the good people you have to worry about.
I think that's a really fascinating thing to say. Like, the fact that even though Eve, like, all kinds of stabbed her, she still sees her as a good person.
Yeah, like, what's up with that? I don't know. I think that's because she recognizes that Eve isn't fully bad. And I think that if she, like, understands that Eve is, like, similar to her, that might be a recognition on Villanelle's part that maybe she's not a fully bad person. Maybe she doesn't think she's all that bad, you know?
I think it also goes back to the conversation that she had with Arena.
Yeah.
Where it's like, are you a good person? Like, are you a bad person? And that conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what makes a person good? What makes a person bad?
Yeah, I like that.
But then Gabriel starts crying.
And Villanelle can't help but, like, roll her eyes, like, oh my god, emotions.
Yeah. Yeah. But this poor baby boy.
Because he starts talking about, like, I'm a monster.
Yeah, so he essentially says that he wants to be normal, right? And Villanelle says, normal is boring. I'm not normal, you know. Which I think is interesting, because it's another one of these moments where she very much so is self-aware. And she knows that she's a psychopath, or she knows that she's been labeled as not normal.
Mm-hmm. And I think she also recognizes that she just, in general, like, even if we have kind of come to the conclusion that she probably doesn't fall under the psychopath label fully, mm-hmm. it's probably something else out there that she could be labeled as, but she just doesn't function as a normal person, doesn't feel things normally. I think she's also been kind of groomed in a certain way to not feel things normally, you know?
Yeah.
Like, those emotions that she has, she's been kind of like, oh, we should foster that, you know?
I 100% agree.
But she is more self-aware, which I think is important to recognize. And it's really sweet because, like, he's like, would you want to live like this? And she's like, no, I wouldn't, you know?
Yeah. So this part's really, really interesting to me, you know, because he says he wishes he had died in the car with everyone else, right? And then he says, would you want to spend the rest of your life like this? And she actually takes a moment to think about it, right? And then she says no. And I feel like this is, like, a major thing for her. You know, in terms of, like, the psychopathy of it. Because psychopaths don't put themselves in other people's shoes. Like, that's something that, like, emotionally they can't do, you know? Mm-hmm. But she does. She's like, she literally is like, well, how would I feel if I were you? You know? And she's like, I wouldn't like that. And so, you know, the next logical step for her is to essentially put him out of his misery. Like, it's a misery kill.
No. Yeah.
It's a mercy kill.
Yeah. And then she, like, pulls him close, right? And she's like, I wouldn't want to. And she's, like, holding him tenderly. And this kill always takes us off guard, right? Mm-hmm. Because they've nurtured such a really interesting and, like, tender relationship. And she's being, like, so soft with him. And then she just grabs his neck and, like, yanks it and kills him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rough. I know it's one of the rougher kills because he is a child.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's... gives us a lot of insight into her, like, who she is, you know? Like, is she a psychopath? Is she not? You know?
Definitely.
All right, well, it's time to
rank that kill.
Oh, so sad, so sad.
This is a sad one.
So on Rank That Kill, we break down a Villanelle kill and discuss her fashion, persona, weapon of choice, flair, and, of course, the psychopathy of it all.
Ooh, the psychopathy. This is a tough one, y'all. But I do think that it does give us a lot of insight. So we'll start from the top.
From the top. So, fashion. What do you think about her fashion?
I love this onesie. It is iconic. I give it a 6.8 solidly. I also think, given the fact that, like, the person she kills, right, Gabriel, this is actually, like, the onesie that was his. Mm-hmm. I think there's an added morbid layer to that.
I give fashion a 7 because while it's not necessarily the sexiest of outfits, although the boobs do look impeccable, I think it's one of, like you said, the more iconic, like, Villanelle outfits. And I love to see it. So a 7.
All right, persona?
Persona? I feel like she doesn't have a persona. I feel like she's very much so herself, and she's just kind of, you know, doing her thing. Like you said, when she's with children, she's more honest, like, more authentically herself. So I don't think she has a persona, so I can't give her really a score except a zero.
Yeah, I gave her a zero as well. I think there isn't even a hint of a persona here, and we see her slip into other ones throughout, like, her stay at the hospital. Like, the wife that's being, like, abused by her husband, right? Mm-hmm. Or, like, the doctor on call or the new specialist or whatever. You know, like,
yeah.
She slips into other ones, but she's 100% herself with Gabriel. 100% an asshole with him, you know, when she can't be.
Yeah. What do you think about Flair?
For Flair, I give this 10 out of 10.
Wow.
I think the reason I do is because of the shock of it. I think the shock of this one really, like, once, like you said, it gut punches you. I'm not saying that this is, like, the best kill out of all of them, by no means. But I think Flair-wise, it really, like, there's a lot of build-up to this one, you know? Yeah. The fact that, like, we think that, like, she's just consoling him, right? And that she's actually built up a relationship with this individual. Like, we never see that happen with her kills, you know? Mm-hmm. So the fact that, like, the Flair is more of a gut punch, I actually really appreciate. Because it's not something I'm used to with Villanelle. I'm used to, like, seeing her kind of on the prowl, ready to kill, you know?
Yeah.
But I really like how this one plays out.
I agree. I like that, too. It also feels like a more intimate kill.
Yeah.
Like, Flair is a weird word, and I don't think I would use flary, like, or, you know, flair in general as a word to describe this particular kill. But kind of, for lack of a better word, just kind of the word that we have. I also would rank it pretty high. I would give it probably a 6.5.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. All right, weapon of choice?
So weapon of choice is her hands, right? Essentially. Mm-hmm. And I think, I kind of really like it when she uses her own body. Like, when she bit into, like, Inga. Like, just her teeth, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, I really love it because she is a weapon. And that I find really attractive. And the fact that she can just kill someone, like, whenever. I love it. We love to see it. I rank it a 7 out of 10.
I give it a 5. I love her hands. I think what's really exciting is we see them go from, like, being really tender and soft and comforting to deadly, you know?
Yeah.
And so I give it a 5. Solidly. All right. And finally, psychopathy.
Oh, psychopathy. Oh, my God. Again, I don't think that she's a psychopath. And I think that this is one of, like, the number one, like, evidence points to me. You know, we love to see it, so I keep saying that, but we love to see it. I give this a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, same. I think 10 out of 10. I think this is the most buildup we've ever had to a kill. The most we've gotten to know the victim, right?
Yes.
It's also usually the victims are people we do not like.
Yes.
So the fact that we really, at least I do as an audience member, really like Gabriel and am super sympathetic to him, it makes this kill devastating.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that she did think about it.
Yeah.
You know, and she was like, kind of put herself in his position. This is 100% a mercy kill, like you said. I think that is fascinating. I think we see another side to Villanelle, and for that, I do give it a 10 out of 10. So what is your grand total?
My grand total. My average for all of them is a 6.1.
Fascinating. Mine is a 6.3.
Oh, very close.
All right. And then, you know, of course, this kill isn't fully over because then we have what she does after, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, she picks his little legs up and she like, lays him down on the bed very gently and actually covers his body.
It's very tender. Mm-hmm. It's, like, another level of tenderness. Part of it, I think, is so that people don't realize that he's dead, right? They think he's just sleeping. And then it takes, you know, she's able to escape or whatever, gives her more time. But I think also there is some tenderness to it as well.
Yeah, because she also backs up and is, like, standing over his bed and, like, just staring down on him. And she seems kind of to be pondering the moment and kind of saying, like, almost in a weird way, a goodbye to him.
Yeah. And then she just grabs a handful of candy.
Yeah.
Just
the absurdity.
The 180 of it all.
And because it makes her seem so childish because she's also in, like, this very, like, small onesie.
Yeah.
That was a gift from him. But then she picks up the apple, too, in her other hand. And she's like, oh. Wait, you know?
Yes.
And as she's holding the apple, we're like, Eve! Apple! Eve!
Yes.
And it's so exciting.
That's exactly what's going through her mind.
Yes.
Eve! Apple! So then we are back at the morgue with Carolyn and Eve.
And essentially, Eve cracks the case, right? Like, she's asking all the questions about, like, did he have any, like, Alistair Peel specifically, about how he died. And she essentially deduces it down to that someone probably, like, pricked his, under his nail, or on his toe.
Yes, because he had pedicures.
Mm-hmm. And it's, like, essentially how a woman was able to come into the room, because he was kind of a recluse. This is essentially more plot, in my opinion, so we mm-hmm. won't dwell on it for too mm-hmm. long.
I will say it's interesting that Carolyn says, like, good job. Like, kind of like this was all a setup. Like, she already knew how he died,
mm-hmm.
But just wanted Eve to figure it out.
I actually don't think Carolyn knew, but I do think it is a test, 100%. I think she didn't, I don't think they could figure it out fully.
They you know? Needed Eve?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps. Regardless, it's plot. We're moving on.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we're back at the hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Villanelle's, like, rolling out of there real quick. She's hustling, and the sirens are blaring.
Yeah, because we assume somebody found Gabriel.
And she's like, I need to dip real quick.
Yeah. And so there's this man at the front right that won't let her leave because there's been an incident. But then she manipulates him real quick.
Yeah, she plays the whole sympathy card, and she's like, I just found out some, about my test results. I just need, like, a moment alone, please. And he's like, stay by the door. And she's like, thank you. And, like, she does, like, the big eyes. And she's like, does a little smile. And she's like, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But then as soon as she's free, she's like, like, smirking. She's like, got him good.
Yeah. And then she rolls away. And then she, like, runs off. And, like, the guy, like, turns around and sees, like, the chair. Like, the empty chair that only has, like, the hat. Right? Yeah.
And the hat just says, LOL.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is very on the nose. Very much so, like, ha ha ha, like, I got away with it. Like, I feel like that's very on the nose, and that doesn't feel as killing Eve as, like, to me anyways. Because yeah. I feel like season one had a very specific tone. This, once again, is a reminder. It's just, it's not Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yeah.
I don't think she would have done this.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Hmm. Not a bad moment. It's still really funny, but yeah. It kind of took me off guard. I'm not used to it with killing Eve at this point.
It's fair. Then we're back at the morgue, and Carolyn and Eve are talking, and essentially Carolyn assumes that Villanelle was the one who killed Alistair Peel. And Eve kind of says, you know, it's possible. And she says, Lord knows she loves a costume, which I think is really so cute.
But then Eve gets upset about the test, right? And she's like, why am I here? And she starts rattling off all of these questions, you know. She, like, even goes as far as to boldface ask, like, Carolyn, like, are you part of the 12? Like, who do you even work for?
Yeah. But then Carolyn turns it around, like, real quick and starts asking her questions.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn asks, what really happened in Paris? Why was Nadia's note addressed particularly to you? And why are you and Villanelle so interested in each other?
Hmm.
And then she pauses, and Eve just looks, like, taken aback. Like, oh, how could you ask me these things? And, like, I don't know. And, like, ugh. Like, she just is like, I'm not going to answer these things. And there's that, in that pause, like, we get the reaction of Eve, right? But then Carolyn kind of leans back very calmly and says, you see how it works?
Kind of
like, you can ask all the questions and I can ask all the questions. And we're not going to answer each other. And we need to accept that.
Yeah. And then Carolyn says that whether or not Eve works for her, Villanelle is going to come after her. Mm, right?
Yeah.
So she's either has to work with them or go into, like, witness protection. And Lord knows nobody wants to go into witness protection. You know what happened to Frank? He was in witness protection.
He lost his knob.
Yeah.
I mean, he got to see Villanelle, but at what cost, you know? She's not in love with him, you know, obviously.
It's essentially a good old-fashioned blackmail, right?
Mm-hmm. And Carolyn has this great line, too. She says, if she's alive, you need to find her.
Yeah.
Before she finds you, and she will.
Mm.
I think that's really interesting because I think she knows that Eve is obsessed with her, right? And I think she also knows that Eve has kind of a massive ego when it comes to Villanelle.
Oh, definitely.
And so she's stroking that by saying, you need to find her.
It's that messiah complex.
Yeah. I really do think that that's what pulls Eve in. And I think there's also that seed of hope, right? Mm. Like, if she's alive, she's going to come find you. So you better be well equipped and ready to do that. And, like, you kind of want to have the level playing field there.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. And then, you know, she says, kind of in reference to Nico, Carolyn says, tell him I forced you to do it, right? Because it's easier that way.
Mm-hmm. And then she just leaves.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn. Like, she's such a powerful woman. And I think in these moments, she's so manipulative. But I really do think that, like, she recognizes, like Carolyn says, like, Villanelle will find you.
Definitely.
You know? And I think Villanelle is their lead to the 12 still. And I think they've exhausted their other leads. So it kind of falls back to her. And I feel like that should be kind of a red flag to Eve. That she might be being manipulated by Carolyn.
I think Carolyn sees Eve, she is a very smart person, Eve is, and she is very good at her job, and I think that she would be very useful to the team, but I think at the end of the day, Carolyn is using Eve as bait.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, to get Villanelle to get to the 12.
Mm-hmm, definitely. I agree. And then, of course, we have Villanelle on the street, right? And, like, once again, we're seeing her at another low, low, low point. Yeah. Where she's just walking along, and there's, like, the trains below, right? And she has a little briefcase and her jammies and the nasty shoes, and she's just trucking along.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this girl really has nowhere to go. She has a briefcase of medicine that lasts her for how long? Does she have any money? She has coins, you know?
Yeah.
It's the question of, like, what next? You know? Mm-hmm.
So she gets a ride right from a truck driver. And then, you know, they stop, like, what looks like a, some kind of convenience store or something like that. And she eyes, like, a family that's getting out of their car with, what is it, like, British license plates or something like that?
Yeah, that she also clocks the fact that they have, like, British accents. Mm-hmm. And then to kind of seal the deal, they have, like, a GB mm-hmm. sticker on the back of their car, which I assume means Great Britain. Mm-hmm. So she's like, oh, like, you know, the three, like, confounding things. So she's like, we kind of connect that she might be, like, in an attempt to use them.
Yeah. And then we go back to Eve's house, and she's just, like, folding clothes. Nico gets there, and then he's the one that tells her that she can't leave the job because she needs it.
Mm-hmm. He's like, you need this. You can't leave. It's, and I think another thing is, like, it can't leave her. Like, yeah. The desire and the pool. And it's like, he recognizes this is what, like, gives you life.
Yeah.
This is what fills your passion. You know, mm-hmm. not me. Not, like, this life we've built, right? Mm-hmm. This job and this chase and, like, and really he's saying, like, this woman.
Yeah.
That he doesn't really know that much about.
Yeah. But he just wants to know what's going on, right? He's like, I just want you to tell me things. Like, mm-hmm. And again, I get it, like, to want to know, right? Mm-hmm. Because clearly this is affecting his wife's, like, mental health.
Yeah, and he's like, talk to me. And she, like, has this bubbly moment where you think she might actually say something to him. And then she's like, I bought a shit ton of windows.
Yeah.
You know, like, really expensive windows.
Yeah.
From Armando.
Yeah.
Which I think is really funny.
I think this, you know, she's deflecting, right?
Oh, for sure.
But I think also it reminds me a lot, like, the buildup of it. Like, you think she's actually gonna say something, and then she says, like, some shit like this to Villanelle, being like, is that, like, one shirt, or, like, is it attached? Like, how does that work? Like, that one line, you know? Because it's like, before we move on, like, can we get one thing straight? And then you think she's going to say something, and then she just deflects and, like, says some, like, bullshit, right?
Yeah, which is really funny. Mm-hmm. And, like, kind of takes you off guard. Yeah, they're so similar. Yeah. I love it.
Has that same energy. And then I really like the next kind of few scenes, because it keeps cutting back and forth, right, between Villanelle and Eve. And you can see that Villanelle did get into this family's car. And it's really funny because she just left all, like, their luggage on the side of the road.
Yeah, it's, like, behind, like, some, like, trash cans, right? And we're like, damn, she really emptied all of it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how much room she needed, but she emptied most, if not all of it.
Yeah. And then we see Eve in bed, who can't sleep. And then we go back to Villanelle, who's in the car. And they're both kind of just awake, and we know that they're thinking about each other.
Mm-hmm. And, like, Eve looks really, like, conflicted, right? But Villanelle looks so at peace. Because she knows exactly where she's going and where, what she's headed to. And yes. That's so cute. She's like, on my way to my girlfriend, you know?
She looks really smitten.
Yeah. I do like this one moment where it does cut back to Eve, right? And she looks really conflicted. And she kind of rolls away from Nico. And her right hand is closer up by her head. And she's, like, rubbing her hand. It's specifically the hand that she used, her right one, which she used to stab Villanelle. Mm-hmm. So it's like she's almost feeling, like, the knife there. Like, she's remembering the action. That hand is, like, haunted with the motion of it. Yeah. You know?
I think also the fact that she rolls away from Nico, right? It's very symbolic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, yeah, the scene ends, but just Villanelle just, like, looking so happy. Mm. She's like, I'm on my way, baby. I'm on my way.
What are your overall thoughts about this episode?
Oh my goodness. This episode is, I will say this is a killer season opener, overall. And once again, I really appreciate that it picks up 30 seconds after. Because that's what I want, you know? I want to know immediately what happened. What are those feelings? What are those emotions that they're going through?
I agree. I think this is a really strong start, and it gets me really excited for the rest of the season.
It's also very silly, which I appreciate.
Yeah, it's funny.
Oh my god. Eve spiraling, just like, it fucking like lays me out. Like, it's so funny. Oh my god. The carrot scene, I'll never be able to like get through that laughing. It's like serious, carrot, and then like laughing maniacally. Carrot, like, you know, there's just the, like, yeah, the back and forth of it is so funny. With kids in America, like, bobbing along in the background. So funny.
It's very, very silly. Yeah, it's a really funny episode. I also just really like Villanelle being a baby, and I do think she must be protected always.
Protect her always. Yes, yes. I agree. Oh my god. I also really enjoy seeing Villanelle in survival mode.
Yeah.
Oh my god. She's really fascinating because she really is. She's so smart. And what she's relying on truly is like every other asset she has, which is her really realistically comes down to her brain.
Yeah.
And how quick she can adapt to situations.
I agree. That's exciting to see. I also am really excited to see more parallels between Eve and Villanelle.
Yes.
Seeing how they are similar. And I'm really excited to see kind of glimpses of dark Eve and glimpses of soft Villanelle.
Ooh.
Those are my favorite.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like a wavelength. Like, there are two wavelengths that are very, very similar, right?
Yeah.
And they're currently working on matching up.
Ooh.
I think that is what's happening, you know? And, like, right now you have, like, when Villanelle's dark, Eve is soft. When Eve is dark, like, Villanelle is soft. And, like, that back and forth is so fun. Oh, my God. I really enjoyed the kid imagery in this episode, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like what? We had Eve with the candy, right?
Yeah.
We're just, like, shoveling in a bag. And then the Kids in America song, right? The bathtub. Meeting at the playground with her mom, you know, Carolyn.
Yeah. And then with Villanelle, you know, we have, obviously, Villanelle being Villanelle. We have the lollipop, the stickers, the kid jammies, bonding with the child, because it's, like, basically the same mental age, you know?
Yeah, I think overall, just, like, a really fun episode, really great opener, and it leaves me with a lot of excitement and a lot of, like, where is this going, you know?
I'm very excited for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
All right. We done did it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Wear It Down, the Queer Killing Eve podcast. We post new episodes every Sunday at noon Central Time. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave us a review so we can continue growing.
You can follow us on social media on Tumblr, Twitter, and Instagram at Wear It Down Pod. Email us if you have any questions or comments, or if you just want to say hi at weareitdownpod@gmail.com. Bye.
Bye.